Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
In Matthew 9 and 18, the scripture says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose." My subject for a while today is simply when Dr. Jesus walks in to the room. You see, my friend, God doesn't need an X-ray machine, for Hebrews says he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He doesn't need a blood panel to figure out what's wrong with us, for his blood heals all our iniquities and all our diseases, as Psalm 103:3 indicates. He doesn't need a second opinion on the condition of your heart, for 1 John 3:20 says, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. God has the best prescription for life, the antidote that works every time. The daily vitamin of the soul that will resist hell's bacteria, for the word states in Exodus 15:26, And the Lord said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You see, God is not trapped to one location or one holy place or one sacred box where he might operate. He is the ultimate doctor without borders. For the word says in Matthew 4:23, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. My friend, cancer doesn't get an exemption from the cross. Diabetes doesn't have dominion over the blood. Every virus on the planet, above the planet, in space, under the earth, in the air, in the caves, in the ground, in the seas, not one of them escapes the stripes of healing from the beating that Jesus took at the cross. Every virus must bend its knee. Every sickness must surrender. Every mental ailment must acquiesce to the anointing that breaks the yoke. Every heart issue and blood issue and emotional issue must lay its weapons at the door of mercy and leave the premises where the authority of Dr. Jesus has spoken. Now, not every sickness was healed in the days of Jesus on earth. But most assuredly, without even a hint of a shadow of doubt, without even one percentage of failure, every single individual Jesus ever touched or spoke a word of healing to, every one of them was healed. No exclusions, no mishaps, no false diagnosis, no mistaken medicine. My friend, no matter how sick you are today, if the Lord Jesus touches you, he is the greatest healer. No matter how difficult the circumstance, no matter how impossible the prognosis, no matter how dire the diagnosis, When Dr. Jesus walks into your room and he brings his remedy, there is no second guessing. You won't need a second opinion. You'll have an eternal testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ has touched your body. And I believe I'm speaking to somebody right now that you've been touched by the Lord in the past. You have evidence of a miracle or of healing that has taken place, something that medicine couldn't do and something that was baffling to your doctors. And yet you're in a situation right now, presently, in the last few days, you feel like that maybe what happened in the past wasn't really as glorified or wasn't really as grand as you first thought it was. But I want to encourage you today that just because you're feeling the doubts now and just because the certain sickness that you may have now feels like it's overwhelming and there is going to be no cure for it and there's going to be no answer for it, don't forget what Jesus did for you and don't let present circumstances dictate to you what you know beyond the shadow of a doubt to be a demonstration of God's love and healing power in your life in the past. Begin to pray and seek the Lord again today. And so in this context here in this passage, when Jesus showed up on the scene, the morbid expressions were everywhere. The sad eyes, the long stares of pain and loss. Death seemed to own the building. Shadows of sorrow extinguished all hope, and any last measure of possibility was gone that the girl was still alive. It was as if the first shovel of grave dirt had already been thrown on her body. Outside, the sun was shining, but inside, it was like midnight. The room was dark, and tears rained. Moans echoed down the street. Funeral sounds were already in full orchestra. Baritone sobs of the dad, high-pitched wails from the mom, and several comforting ohs from the supporting cast that filled the room. But then Dr. Jesus walked in the room. He relieved the mourners of their duty and he sent them home. He looked at the girl stretched out on her bed, lifeless, motionless, no sign of breath, no wind of existence escaped her lungs. The sullen face, the rigid posture, the paling features, the darkening circles beneath the eyes, the slight smell of decomposition and the uncleanness of death. It seemed as if death had already scraped her soul with the sickle of the grave, as if Hades had already numbered her among the dead, another statistic for the bragging rights of the devil. But Dr. Jesus was in the room now. He didn't need to check her temperature. He didn't need to measure her vitals. He didn't need a CT scan. He didn't need an X-ray of the chest. He didn't need an X-ray of the belly. He didn't need to place his fingers on her wrist to get a pulse. Because Jesus already knew. He was the all-knowing doctor, and he brought a different kind of remedy that day. Everybody in that room, or everybody outside in the street now milling around, was about to find out why Jesus was going to have one day power over death, hell, and the grave. Because in this particular instance, he gave death no authority. He seized the reins of the moment. He pushed back the fog of depression, and he silenced the mourners. He dismissed the blues band, and he sent home the coroner and the early attendants of the funeral director. He had said the child was not dead, but merely sleeping. Because when Jesus walks in the room, my friend, it's as if the one who just took their last breath is merely taking a nap. And the doctor, Jesus, will wake her up. The doctor will speak words into the realm of the dead. And it will be like the veins of hell have suddenly been shot up with 1,000,000 milligrams of Ritalin. Life will bloom. The decay of death will disappear. The morbid eyes will manifest light. The dead lips will utter new things. The mouth will become an open door as the lungs fill the air. The breathing will begin. The color will come back into her cheeks. The blood will cease to be a dead pond, and it'll flow like a river again, coursing through her veins. An awakened heart will thunder, and a new storm of tears will develop on the horizon. Tears of joy, shock waves of joy, uncontrollable gasps of disbelief and unbridled thankfulness. For now the darkness of death has surrendered territory. The doctor has spoken. His word was the medicine, his utterance the unfailing prescription, his faith the substance of things hoped for, his remedy drawn from his own future blood that would be the transfusion of hope for every sinner. His faith pharmacy, my friend, will provide the power of boldness. His injection of truth will flood the soul of infirmity. One swallow of his promise is better than 1,000 capsules of the strongest earthly drugs. Because, my friend, Dr. Jesus is not a prisoner of limitations. There is nothing that can hold him back. There is nothing that can reserve his remedy when he shows up to do the impossible. There is nothing that can blockade the blessing and the miracle and the touch of God when the Lord gets ready. He can break through any barrier. He can overcome any obstacle. He can set a new standard. He can heal any disease. And this doctor, my friend, is not licensed by the American Medical Association, because he has the highest authority of his own word. He has the immutability of his own counsel. It is impossible for him to lie. And if God speaks a word of confidence and cure into your spirit, he can bring physical healing. He can bring emotional deliverance. He can bring you out of mental anguish by an anointing of the word of God that breaks the yoke. And then we have the story of this unknown woman who dropped to the ground and crawled through the crowd toward Christ. She was just an ordinary person, about to tap into an extraordinary power. Her doctors told her that her condition was incurable. The bankers told her that her funds were depleted. Everything and everyone around her, up to this moment, had confined her to some opinion or conclusion. But when the Bible calls her a certain woman, it seems to indicate in some spiritual way that this woman had come to a place where social graces didn't matter anymore. It wasn't just that she was a specific woman in the crowd, a certain woman, but she had nothing to lose here and something to loose. She was sick, but she was certain. She knew that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. There are many advocates of disbelief in this hour that doubt the ever-ready power of God to heal. They interrogate the disciples of the Lord in this generation with imposing questions such as, "Are you certain God can do that? Are you certain you should wait on the Lord? Are you certain that God will be on time? Are you certain that he can be the Savior of your situation? Are you certain that he can do what you believe that he can do? Are you certain that you believe in miracles? Are you certain an alternative route would not be better?" But the answer is instant and unapologetic, because God is the definite deliverer, the infallible physician, the grave robber of disease and death, the accurate radiologist who can find the problem, the foolproof paramedic who can calm the panic, and the skillful surgeon who can remove the problem. The Bible says that she suffered many things of many physicians. In the days of Jesus, there were many superstitions within the realm of medicine. The primitive procedures of the medical world in the country had left this woman with the issue of blood devoid of money and deposited in misery. She had placed her hopes in the high ambitions of leading doctors, up-and-coming physicians. But now she encountered a man who didn't need medicine, because Dr. Jesus healed with mercy. Now, this woman with an issue of blood was a chronic seeker, and after years of dead-end methods and futile attempts of incredulous doctors and the hopeless nods of creditors, she had arrived at ultimate desperation. You see, for her right now, in this condition, she didn't care about her environment. She didn't care who was watching her. She didn't care who she bumped into. Her appearance meant little, but arresting the supernatural meant everything. She positioned herself at the edge of the crowd to make her move. She noted that the rest of the people strolled casually while they listened to Jesus, but she subjected herself to a posture of humility. She stooped to her hands and got on her knees, and she began to crawl on that street and make her way through the crowd of people. knowing this was the only way she could ever hope to get close to him. So she methodically crawled on the scratchy sand and cobblestones, shoved aside at times by indignant bystanders who could not comprehend what she was doing. She zigzagged around old ladies and affectionately smiled at little children that stared down at her. She looked ahead, and she saw the tassels, the blue tassels, hanging from the robe of Christ, and she watched as they bounced with every step that he took. She kept her eyes on him, and as she stretched forth her determined fingers, and holding her breath, she managed to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And then she let the others pass by as she stayed frozen with almost incomprehensible joy at what had just occurred. This woman needed no fanfare or hoopla. She didn't need to be heralded on a stage or brought into the spotlight or interviewed by 1,000 reporters. No, a private cure would do her just fine. She believed Jesus to be more than a prophet with second-rate power. This was the Son of God with sovereign power. She could not bear to blurt out a word in some feeble attempt to get his attention. In fact, she didn't really seek it. She didn't want to be heralded. Just healed. She wasn't interested in the spotlight to gain her 15 minutes of fame. She just wanted this discreet moment, and from the very beginning, all she wanted was to be healed. Oh, my friend, how many secrets of the supernatural are discovered on bended knees and never shared in the form of philosophy? This woman was not searching for glory. She was merely reaching for grace, and I believe I'm talking to somebody in our modern day just like that. You're not looking to be heralded. You're not looking for an interview. You're not looking for a spotlight or a stage. You just simply want the Lord to touch you. You're not reaching for glory. You're reaching for the favor of God. You're reaching for an affectionate hand. You're reaching for a loving Savior with the healing balm of Gilead and eye salve to give you vision, a touch, and a radiant touch that can heal whatever it is that's going on in your body today. And I believe the grace of God can do that for you. And so back to the story. Jesus refused to say nothing when he felt the eternal essence of healing released from him. He seemed to acknowledge that it was more than just a casual bump or a general brush with somebody in the crowd. He knew that he had been touched by desperate faith. His spiritual gauge and his grace had registered a surge of outgoing power that could not be ignored. When Jesus inquired as to whom it was that touched him, he was misunderstood. And such is the sad state of affairs of the carnal minds in a religious world today. Those that can only comprehend the touch of flesh. But Jesus was referring to the spiritual touch beyond the contact of the physical world. The touch of heaven, not just of mere humanness. This was a supernatural encounter that had just occurred. Oh, my friend, let me tell you today that in a world of religious placebos that don't work, Jesus offers the best medicine. It's not a snake oil salesman's last greatest deception or a magical tonic to be sipped while your bank account is drained. Oh, my friend, it is the true touch of a healer. And when Dr. Jesus walks into your room, it doesn't matter how bad the news, it doesn't matter how negative the report, it doesn't matter what has metastasized or what has spread. He can touch you. He can cleanse you. He can heal you. He can deliver you. He can encourage you. He can pull you out of that pit. You don't have to walk around with dread. You don't have to bow your head with despair. You don't have to live with the countenance of shame. You don't have to constantly worry about how you're going to pay this doctor because Jesus shed blood on the cross. He was beaten brutally on his back, ribbons of flesh that hung, furrows of healing, if you will, from which many miracles would grow. And I believe that he can touch you today. And the question is, who is going to touch the supernatural? Who's going to go beyond just the feeling of the ordinary or another yawn of tired devotion? Who's going to just have another casual bump of religion on a Sunday morning? And who's going to really go beyond the ordinary and touch Jesus with desperate prayer? Who's going to let Dr. Jesus walk in the room? Or are we simply satisfied to have the negative prognosticators tell us why it doesn't happen anymore or why it never could happen to begin with? Who would be willing to get on their knees like this woman with the issue of blood had crawled to a miracle? Who would be willing to reach beyond the custom-fit, culture-friendly, sin-tolerance crowds to touch the hem of heaven, to get beyond the earthly and step into the eternal? You see, my friend, our Dr. Jesus is not suffering a power outage. He doesn't need a humanistic generator to kick in to provide illumination or earthbound answers or apologetic reasoning or sympathetic gestures because nothing else can be done. All power is given unto me, he said. Some might jump in and say, yeah, well, I know it's all power, but that's in the world to come. That's when we get our immortal bodies. That's when a new heaven and a new earth has been formed. But wait, Jesus didn't just say all power in heaven. He said all power in heaven and in earth. That's the everlasting and that's the earthly. That's what's coming and that's what's right now. That's in the region of angels. That's in your realm of infirmities. That's in the tomorrow glory, but it's also in the right now suffering. I'm telling you today, my friend, I believe that God has whatever you need. Why couldn't this be the hour that you're delivered from your agony? Why couldn't this be the day where the demonstration of the Spirit shows up in your home, shows up for your broken heart, shows up for the wounds that won't heal in your life, whether they're physical, emotional, or spiritual? Why couldn't this be the day that Jesus steps into your room, and when all of the x-rays are showing very bad things, and when it seems like that tumor's getting bigger instead of getting smaller, and it had gone into remission, but now it's back. Listen, we trust the Lord. And we know that many times there are situations where those that are sick, they go on into the next life, and they are victorious. But that doesn't mean that for the many prayers that maybe you and I have prayed, maybe we've trusted the Lord and sought God about and diligently fasted and prayed over, and God decided, you know what, I'm not going to do it that way this time. We still are going to operate in faith. I'm still going to speak a word of hope to somebody listening to this right now, that disease is not greater than your Savior, that the sickness that you're right now, that you're enduring, that you're going through, that you keep having to go see different doctors about, I believe the great physician Jesus Christ can be the one to heal you today. I believe the Lord. I believe in the authority of his word, and I believe there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe in the excellency of the name of Jesus. It's not just a magical mantra. It's not just a magical formula. It's not just some scientific equation. It's not even just some religious charm that we use. No, there's something about the name of Jesus, because you're not just getting a promise, you're getting the person with the name. And that person, Jesus Christ, is alive and well today. He's not laid up in some tomb somewhere. He's not an apologetic memory of the past. He's a very present help in your time of trouble today. And so I pray that somebody listening to this, that even if it's not something that is a physical affliction that gets healed, maybe it's a place of depression in your life. Maybe it's a long-going grief that just sticks around and will never seem to leave, and you can't seem to have any days of sunshine. It's just, in a matter of speaking, it's just raining every day. Emotionally, it's just tears every day. But this could be the day that the joy of the Lord walks into your room. This could be the day that peace that passes all understanding comes with the hand of Dr. Jesus. And when he touches you today, you'll have a smile and you'll have a peace and you'll have something that comes in to your life that is far more abiding than all of the medicine that you're taking and all of the things that maybe earthly physicians are prescribing, and they do their best. And we thank God for the many times the Lord has used physicians and medicine and nurses and doctors to help us get better. But if you're in a place today where you've tried absolutely everything, then I pray that Dr. Jesus will walk into the room. I pray that he'll heal your body. I pray that he'll fill your spirit with the Holy Ghost. I pray that he'll renew your faith if it's been crushed recently. And I pray that today you will discover that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most authentic and affectionate physician who has ever walked this earth. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.